This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's time to tee it high and let it fly on the Tee Florida.
I demand satisfaction.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the 19th Hole Studios inside Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
How about a Fresca?
Bringing you the week's coverage of all things golf.
He's got to be pleased with Dad.
From PGA to NCAA. And now...
Well, we're waiting.
Let's tee off with Mike Rickard, Oscar Gamer, and John Rieger.
Welcome back to hour number two of On the Tee Florida. I'm Mike Rickard, head of the Hack Nation, sitting across from one of the pros, Bill Butner, and, of course, John Rieger up there in St. Augustine Beach. And, of course, St. Pete's most interesting man, Tom Gribben, in the house tonight. Good to be back on the air, fellas. Good to see you there, Tar Heel.
Yeah, we had a good time in North Carolina for the Thanksgiving. So
you went up north for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Pinehurst. Awesome.
Pinehurst.
Remember, he said he was going to.
Yeah, big time. You never know with him, though. He went out to Arizona. Didn't you go to Arizona?
Well, there was a wedding.
Yeah, North Carolina.
Washington wedding. I went to weddings, yes.
Well, we're going to have a nice little conversation with Mark Egli here, a good buddy from Iowa, the PGA of America teaching pro. Turns out that 44 some years ago, you two were playing on what's this gambling tour?
Space Coast Tour.
This illegal gambling operation that
it
you were part
very
of?
Illegal. J.C. Goosey made it very in your
face. J.C. Goosey sounds like an illegal operation. That what was his
Goose,
real name?
The Goose was... He was a special individual.
A well-known name, J.C. Goosey.
Really? John Rieger, did you know J.C. Goosey?
Well, yeah, guess what? Hey, Mike, sit back. You're going to get quite a history lesson on the Space Coast Golf Tour, and Bill was an integral part of it, and I was, too, for a number of years. So here we go. So if we get Mark Egling on here, he and Bill can talk Space Coast Golf Tour and enlighten our listeners on probably one of the great mini-tours that has launched the careers of many of PGA Tour player.
Calvin Pete, Larry Nelson, you name it, all A to Z. They all started there.
Wow.
Oh, what about that gun-toting guy that you ran into back in the day?
Not Billy Glisson. Not that guy. No, there's other fast-wheeling guys.
No, Rieger was out with the guy that pulled the gun.
Well,
out.
I can tell you, Mike sent us all a picture. That. I don't know if Bill, he sent you that, or Mark Egling got this, but... let me tell you something. I'm just going down this one list here. This is from a Sun Air Country Club, which is probably one of the shortest, highest, narrowest golf courses you could ever play in Haines City. But I'm just going down the list of tour players out there that have played in that one particular tournament at that one particular time. There's Billy Glisson. There's Larry Rinker down there. There's Mike Holland. There's Kit Byrne. There's a name you haven't heard from for a while. And you just go down the list. And there's probably 20 PGA Tour players that played this one event in Sun Air. And the J.C. Goosey, if you want to Google this, J.C. Goosey was a fabulous tour player out there, but he wasn't, just never really came into his all. You know, and he liked to have his adult beverages, and he liked to, gamble a little bit. But he created this tour back in 1973, and it was an offshoot of the National Tournament Golfers Association that was played in the Tampa Bay area. And for 25 years, he provided an opportunity and a way for young, aspiring tour professionals to go play. Now, you played for your own money, and JC always had this one common phrase. He said he was always the leading money winner every week out there on the Space Coast Golf Tour because he was the one that handled the money. But I can tell you that JC did a lot for golfers. There's a few golfers out there. One of my old buddies, Mike Holbert, was... struggling out there, and JC paid his entry fees for a while, and Mike went on to win like three or four tournaments out there on the Space Coast. But I'm going to turn this over to Bill Butner, because Bill, you need to talk about your experiences. We have Mark Egling coming on to talk about, because I think Mark actually beat you in this tournament at Sun Air.
Let's
say hello to Mr. Egley first, though.
Good evening. How are you, sir?
Oh, Mark, it's great to hear from you. So you need to go ahead and punish Bill Butner on this on how you beat him in this tournament on the Space Coast Golf Tour.
Hey, it was probably the only time I ever did.
Oh, I hardly believe that. That was a learning experience, that Space Coast Tour.
Well, that was Michigan State against North Carolina, and Michigan State kicked your butt.
Oh, yeah, dream on.
So, Mark, thanks for sharing that with us. It's going to provide a little fun here and humor. And where did you find that relic?
Well, it was a memorable tournament, and if you go by today's dollars, you see Billy Glisson won $5,000. You multiply that by 4.25, that's like winning over $20,000 today.
Did he write you checks or did you just pay in cash?
You always got the check the next day. It was a beautiful thing. He had it handwritten every week. But we said, he always reminded you that he was the leading money winner that week.
Yeah. I was listening to you that there was way more than 20 tour players there. And I don't know why I saved that particular one, but I was looking through it. You know, I was cleaning, you know, you're purging and doing things, and I found it. But it was one of the most memorable tournaments I ever played because one of the most famous golfers, there was a couple that ended up winning on the Champions Tour and being superheroes, and one was Walt Zembrisky.
Walt, woof.
And the other was Larry Mowry.
Larry Mowry, legend.
And he was known for having a 7-Up bottle that didn't have much 7-Up in it.
I can verify that. Bottles.
You can confirm that, John?
I can confirm that, absolutely. I got to play with him. Jack Larry, I think, won the Florida Open several times. But Larry actually went on to win the Senior PGA Championship, I believe, in the early days of the Champions Tour.
He was a major winner.
Yeah.
And so there was two stories about driving the golf ball there, and it was an eye-opener for me. And do you guys remember the 10th hole at Sun Air?
Wow. Memory check.
It was a par 5. You went away from the clubhouse. There was a street right next to you that you could hit it out of bounds on. You got up to the green, and there was a little water hazard just short of the green. And it was the first time I played with the legend, Larry Mowry. And he was pissed coming off the 10th hole. And he aims it down the middle of the road between the houses. And I thought he just was drunk. I thought he had lost control. And he hit that shot. It's a 540, 50-yard par 5. And he gets in the cart and he keeps riding with us. And I'm going, why? He didn't hit another ball. We get up there and he's like 5 yards off the green. It was a dogleg right. And it was one of the most truly humbling moments I'd ever had in my life. And so if you remember Ken Corliss and Walt Zembrisky.
Ken, yeah.
We're playing pretty good there. And you guys, do you remember Goosey's, I think his guy that was always with him was either Mike or Tim.
There was Lloyd.
Tim.
Lloyd.
Well, could have been many people, but go for it.
But we're standing on the back nine, and there's a par 5 where you go to the right and play it safe, or you take it over the water. And Ken Corliss was, I think he was from Ohio. He was strong, and I was known for hitting it pretty good for distance. And we take it over the water. And we fly it over the water. And it's one of those holes where you're 500 in the some yard par 5, and we're up there inside at 200 yards because we took the corner. Walt Zembrisky was a little man. I think he was a iron worker or a hard-working blue-collar guy. He was older than us, and he saw us hit it over the water by 50 yards, and he stands up and hits it, and he comes up about 20 yards short. And he stood on the tee calling us every name in the book that we were liars, liars, liars. And Goosey had to restrain him. It's just one of those things. It was the damnedest thing I ever saw. And then, you know, he didn't apologize for a couple holes, but he finally got it back. And that was one of those tournaments I can remember because Walt was a legend, and so was Mowry.
Oh, yeah.
And
well, you know, if you just take a look at this list that Mike sent out, in fact, we need to post this on our social media because I'm looking at the list here, and it's just unbelievable when I look back on how many tour players were. And you're right, there's more than 20 PGA Tour players that played in this one particular event at Sun Air where you have to beat Bill Buttner. So what was the weather conditions like? Mark, you got such a great memory. the 10th hole at Sun Air, I just wanted to forget about that hole permanently. So tell us, was it freezing cold or was it a nice day? What was going on there?
It was 2 days of perfect weather. I can't ever, and I not from memory, but I can just tell you, I never played golf on a bad weather day, except one day it was really windy at
Royal Oak in Titusville. Or
there was a couple of golf courses there. Andy Bean played at it. It might have been Haines. Greenleaf.
Yeah, that's where Andy was.
And it was. It's where, you know, Sean McCarty and Andy played over in Lakeland at, I think, at Grassland. But the first time I met Andy Bean was finishing second to Nicklaus in majors about every other week, and he was winning, you know, regular tour events. And he was a mountain of a man, and he was so nice. And I remember playing the second round, and sometimes Goosey would write the checks there that day, but I can't remember why I was stuck around. But I played in the morning and shot a great round the second day. So I stuck around to see how much money I was going to win. And I'm out there pitching the balls on the short game area. And Andy Bean was doing something, and his caddy was being a real jerk. Worse than that, but we're on live radio. And Andy walked up to me, and he goes, "Son, I'm so sorry. I don't know what's getting into him." And he walked over, and he just royally ripped his caddy and said, "Get out of here. I'll see you tomorrow. I can't take your crap anymore." And Andy Bean became a lifetime friend. And all I can remember is working with Bruce Flesher. And he was playing with Andy Bean. And we were in Des Moines. And my little girl is so small, I'm carrying her on my shoulders. And Andy Bean, and for those listeners there, I hope you all know that he recently passed away because of pneumonia after having to have a double lung transplant. But he might have been one of the quietest, nicest men to ever play the tour. And I'll always remember how nice he was to my little girl. And Jay Haas won that week and came out, and he goes, "Oh," because he, you know, it's just nothing but his golf pros there. He goes, he saw the little visor that this little 4 or 5 year old girl had. And he goes, "Would you like me to sign that?" He goes, and she, my daughter Tess, went, "No, I just want my friend Andy Bean."
There you go.
That's classic. That's a great story.
The other day, it brought back a flood of memories, and I had to send it your way because it was about that time. It's when I first met Bill Buttner, and he was such a tall, intimidating guy, and he had the same kind of niceness that Andy Bean had.
Hold on. Bill Buttner, Carolina Tar Heel.
The one you're looking at.
That could probably squash me like a bug. He was intimidating. You should see him at Eckerd College, where he was for 21 years. He's like Andy Griffith. Everybody loves him, and he fits the mold. I mean, he's got that look.
He's got the killer look.
Killer look, yeah.
He was tall, and he was quiet, and he could play.
I was quiet.
That part I don't believe.
Andy was skinny too. He was very skinny.
That must have been before he started drinking,
I guess.
That be before he had wine and dine with the girls at the St. Pete Country Club.
That's true.
Anyway, you know what, fellas? As you're sharing these stories, Mark and John and Bill, Tom's probably over here thinking, you know what we should have done is this would have been like a great Netflix following these characters. It sounds like one of these guys was the original John Daly. He's got a little bit of 7-Up in his beverage. You've got guys that want to beat the hell out of.
I say Billy Glisson was a good old redneck from South Carolina who could play, and I'm talking about gamble play.
He had the mullet before the mullets were popular. He had that long flowing blonde hair and very bad knees.
Oh, that was Billy Glasson.
When
I played a few tour events, hanging out with Billy Glasson made life a lot easier. You just got to sit there and be quiet and let the girls come. Billy Glisson was an overweight redneck and a tough, really tough guy that didn't have any class at all. So there was, one was with an I and the other was with an A.
I'm talking about the younger guy, the beautiful guy. Yes.
Class and horse's ass.
And then there was legend.
Hey, there's a guy on this list I'm looking down here right now. If you're talking about stories, Al Kelly Jr. Wonderful man, played on the tour, became a club pro at Silver Lake Country Club, and I remember I played quite a few tournaments with him. So one year we're hosting a tournament at the Bloomingdale Golfers Club. We had a lot of young pros, old pros that would our members, and so Al came to visit. We had a tournament going on, and you know, old school. You know, can you find me a place to stay? And I said, sure, stay at my house. This is before I had kids and everything. Come on over. You're right across the street from the Bloomingdale Golfers Club. And they had this tape that came out. And Al was tall and skinny. Well, tall and skinny, he looked like Al Geiberger. He swung like Al Geiberger quite a bit. And this is like in the early 80s. And I did this VHS tape that came out. And it was dealing with Al Geiberger would swing a golf club. And then it would be, I guess, subconsciously, what would happen is on the tape, all of a sudden you would hear, well, Al Geiberger was swinging a golf club. Well, Al Kelly sat in my easy chair. He watched that tape all night long. He fell asleep watching the tape, and all I heard all night long was, Al goes out and shoots like 62 the next day at Bloomingdale and just smokes everybody. So I don't know what was in that tape, but it was the perfect tape for Al Kelly Jr. to watch Al Geiberger.
It was a CyberVision tape. It was CyberVision.
That's it, the CyberVision. I remember that, yeah.
I lived by it. It was awesome. And I lived by the putting. The putting was awesome, too. That's a great, for those that don't understand, it's a visualization kind of a thing for the brain to gain the tempo, rhythm, all the things that happen in the golf swing.
I need it right now. Hey, you're listening to On the Tee Florida, and this is our Legends edition brought to you by our good friends at Ice Pick Vodka, Shipyards Brewing, and Legends in Their Own Mind.
Okay.
Sea Dogs Brewery. We're going to get Mark Egli down here this winter, get him away from that frigid weather, and take good care of him. We'll have him stay at the Crystal Bay, your favorite place, John Rager, and then we'll wine and dine him, and you guys can go out and play some golf and continue these stories. I think you'll be up for that this winter, don't you think, Mark?
I can do that in January, I think.
Well, I'll get it all put together for you.
We need to get a parade through Ferg Sports Bar and Grill for Mark when he shows up. We need to have a little parade going right through the sports bar right upstairs to the golf simulators.
He took Butner to the woodshed in some illegal gambling tournament here in Florida.
It was legal as best we knew. Let's put it that way.
I think it would be a great show for people to want to watch these characters because they're all built in for great viewership.
And who was that?
Hey, I'm looking at this list right now. I see Adrian Stills, African American golfer. I played against him. I was at the College of Charleston. He was at South Carolina State. They went on to play in the national championship there. And Adrian just got elected to the board of governors of the Florida State Golf Association. I mean, that's a huge. He's the first African American to be on their board. So you just go down the list. There's Bobby Strobel right there. I think
Strobel.
A lot of people remember Bobby Strobel.
Bobby Strobel, and then. There was Al Morton.
Al? Yep, Al Morton.
Crew.
Yeah, a lot of the guys came from Tampa there, too.
Yeah. What some of these people don't know when they look at, there was no Nike Tour. There was no Corn Ferry Tour. There was the J.C. Goosey Tour. And then you went up to the North in those days to go play the North Dakota, the South Dakota, all those state opens and the Nebraska opens. And so that's why you see so many names. Bobby Pankret, you know, he was a tour player. Donnie Hammond was a tour player. I think he won at Bay Hill maybe one time.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, you know, the fun thing about the Space Coast Golf Tour, we hosted many of their events at the Bloomingdale Golfers Club. They would give the host pro a free spot, which was me, right? So I remember one year we had our men's member guests coming up that weekend, so the Space Coast was out there earlier in the week. And I got on the first hole, and I got a lot of stuff to do for the men's member guests. I got there's a lot to do when you do that. It's the biggest event of the year for your club. And I got, yeah, but my mentor and boss, Bobby Strickland, said, hey, you know, you need to get out there. You need to play. Come on, go play in this thing. I said, okay. I get on the first hole at the Bloomingdale Golfers Club. I duck hook it into the nature area. I duck hook the next one into the nature area. Make a long story short, I made 8 on the par 4 on the first hole. I figured I was mathematically eliminated. I took my bag off the cart and I walked in. I was done. I had to get ready for the men's member guest.
No kidding.
Hey, I have to interrupt here. Patty, the cart girl, Patty Suzette, our favorite, of course. She's in the house, Mark Egli, and you'll meet her when you come down in January. But she's taking some of the focus away from Bill Buttner as we share these stories of him back in the day. And Patty, apologize to Mark for your beauty and your great. Well, you don't have to apologize. But say hello to Mark Egli.
I was going to say, oh, hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Mark,
now they finally motivated me to come to Florida.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I can.
Okay, good. Perfect. Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing great. And I just
I'm stealing Bill's.
Well, you know what? Bill Buttner loses all focus when she shows up, and then she brings him an ice pick vodka, one of our sponsors.
I do what I can.
So we may have to watch his attention span and the language he uses when he's describing these characters. That you would have had a ball out on the golf course with these guys. Half of them had adult beverages while they're playing.
They did, and they also had these girlfriends that would follow them around too. So there was always a little comedy along with the drinking, and
this is a perfect Netflix
and the gambling.
Sounds like a typical day out on the field. Yeah. Why did you say the field? That's wrong.
out on the course.
Bill's gonna smack me.
Yeah, but this even adds more to the storyline for our Netflix project that he's gonna start penning.
Yeah. Now that we've introduced the wives, for sure.
Yes, there you go.
Exactly. So between the three of you, one of your favorite, most unique stories, and then we'll wind things down. We'll start with you, Mark, since you brought this to the table.
Unique stories about the days down in Florida?
Yeah, with this Wild Wild West tournament you were in.
Oh, I don't have a good one right now. I just look at this, and I'm just reminiscing that this is like over 44 years ago.
Go ahead, the statute of limitations is run.
Yes.
Yeah. And, I wasn't the wildest out there, but I just look over this list and I think of all the great people. I mean, there's over 50 tour players here playing in this event. And I look at names like the great Hawaiian that you guys, hopefully you remember, Harold Perry Jr.
Harold. Yes.
There's Ralph Landrum in there.
Oh, yeah, Ralph, yeah.
Won the amateur.
South Carolina.
This was, and Ralph ended up in Kentucky, and yep. It's just what it's like to have lived this life that we've been blessed to do. And I could tell stories about Sonny Meth then and the Ken Junes of the world. And
Ken Junes,
it's been a wonderful joy being a tournament golfer. And, that you know, think about it now. It's 45 years later, 44 years later. And the three of us are all still here and doing well.
Hey, you know, I want to mention Ken June for a second now that you mentioned him, Mark, because Ken is deceased now, but Ken was a wonderful golf professional that created a program at the Terrace Hill Golf Center near Temple Terrace, which I had the pleasure of being able to develop and operate for a brief period of time there. And Ken developed this program at the Veterans Hospital in Tampa for Adaptive Golf to help with Dave Windsor and the Adaptive Golf Program, where he actually saved a lot of lives of these veterans who were suicidal. They were had nothing to do, and they were suicidal. And he started teaching them golf, and he would have this adaptive golf clinic every Friday. And it was a huge success. He saved a lot of lives. He contributed to the game of golf. Unfortunately, he passed early, and he became one of the major award winners of the PGA of America posthumously. But, yeah, Ken June, you know, he could golf his ball back in the day. And so shout out to Ken.
Well, Bill, you got a story you want to share before we move on?
Wow, I got so many stories because I got so many friends that came through that tour. I guess one of my favorite ones was going over to Royal Oak over in Titusville. And it was an hour away, so, you know, you stayed over there and practiced after the round. And I ran into this guy, had a wedge in his hand called Mo Norman.
From Canada.
Yes.
From Canada. Yes. And I started, I don't think it was communicating. I was talking at him.
Wasn't Mo autistic?
He was special. Let's put it that way.
And he was autistic, yep.
I just said, you play golf? Oh, yeah. And I had no clue who he was. And he just started laughing at these players. And I'm like, what's so funny? He said, they don't like money. They don't like money. Okay. Not one of these guys got a dime. I mean, why don't they like money? He says, watch where they go after they go off 18. And they went right to the range. And everybody went from, you know, playing to the range. And he looked at the putting green and nobody was there. He says, all the money's right here. All the money right here. Nobody wants it. Nobody wants it. And, I mean, after that, I started a relationship with him. We saw him year after year. And I started to ask him golf questions, which was, again, hilarious because I wanted to learn how to play the game. And he just said, why not just hit it straight?
I said, well, that simple.
It was that simple.
Yeah. He's an icon in your guys' group.
And I was kind of trying to say, well, do you take it over the corner when there's out of bounds there? He's like, no out of bounds in the air. No out of bounds in the air. Just hit it straight. And then eventually I ended up seeing the Canadian Open because he'd be up there hitting golf balls for all the pros during the at Glen Abbey. So I'd run into him twice a year kind of thing. And he was very entertaining, shall we say.
Well, his videos are still.
Hey, Bill, I want to add to your story there. You know, the Royal Oak, we used to call it Royal Joke, but it was actually a nice little golf course. And it had a nice little lodge and that nice little bar. And it was owned by the Canadian PGA. And it was a great place because they hosted a lot of Space Coast events and every event that you could ever imagine. So I wasn't on the putting green either because Royal Oak had one of the greatest bars that you could go into. So you would have seen me in the bar, not on the putting green there. That's why I became a club pro.
Ah, there you go. That's one of the reasons. Okay. But that was a special time. Obviously, looking back, I didn't know who he was. But now I can appreciate it.
Tom Cribben, thanks for stopping down. We'll be talking to you soon. Now, St. Pete's most interesting man is...
And next week I'll be in Colorado, so it'll be 2 weeks when I'm back.
All right, my friend.
Wow.
Looking forward to it. I'll be talking to you soon.
Rocky Mountain High.
Mark Egli, do you have a Mo Norman story? I know that Judd Gibbons, some of the boys did back in the day.
Okay, so I was there in those times, and... Bill, do you remember a guy named Skip Holton?
Oh, absolutely, yes. I mean, they're all my buddies. I hung on that Space Coast tour for 5 to 6 years and got to know everybody.
Wasn't Skip an Iowan?
Skip and Mark Lemon spent a winters being the golf professionals there. And so there was a time that I was down there, and people made fun of this man, but right now you can go on some big auction house, if you type in Mo Norman's badge, it's a one-of-a-kind Masters badge.
I saw it, 1958. I saw that on social media yesterday.
Yeah. So we're down there, and we're finishing up the Skins game before one of Goosey's things. And, I mean, that's the first place I ever saw Jim Dent. Jim Dent was one of the greatest, and he played there. It's kind of nice talking with your friends, bringing back memories. But Mo came in when we were paying off the Skins, and I don't think we have too many kids here. But Mo has got I got two stories. He's got his hand down his rear end, scratching his bottle.
That's him.
And he goes, what do we got here? What do we got here? Because he always said everything twice, like Bill was doing.
Yep.
Got Mo Skin game, and nice to meet you. And he went around and shook everybody's hand. And this other dad sits back. We're laughing. And they said, one of the guys got pissed. He goes, that's Mo Norman. You don't dare laugh at him. He's a great man. Da, da, da. We got lectured, and we kept laughing. What are you laughing at? I said, while all you guys were shaking his hand, we were sitting back here that he was doing this thing with his rear end just before that. And there was a mass exodus to go wash everybody washed their hands. But the greatest Mo Norman story will never be determined because there's so many great ones. but he was rooming with a Canadian young golf pro. And they're playing a big event. And the young guy went out and beat the field. He's leading the tournament going into the final round. And Mo, being autistic and a special needs person, went in and cut off all the guy's grips where they were storing the club.
That's fair.
Boy, Mo. Did you to jack with me? Oh my God.
He goes, "Why'd you do it, Mo? I'm leading the tournament." He goes, "I know what you did last night." He goes, "What do you mean?" He says, "He stayed out all night with a young lady."
And so he goes, "I'm cutting your grips off?"
So he cut his grips off to teach him a lesson. And
and he's, that's where that might have been his mojo. He needed to go for knife number two.
So he asked Mo a few point questions. He goes, "I was just doing what comes natural." And he goes, and the kid said, "You've never had intimate relations." And Mo said, "Tried it once, didn't like it. Tried it once."
That would be Mo.
That's only been said by one man on the planet, and that's Mo Norman. Oh, my God. Tried her once. Didn't like it.
Oh, my God. With Bill there, you should do a show that's all Mo Norman stories, because it's just incredible.
Right.
Well, we'll have you included, of course. That story is absolutely priceless.
Oh, my God.
Hey, but, you know, to add to Mark and Bill's admiration of Mo Norman, I remember I would get, like, a lawn chair, and I would go to Royal Oak sometimes when I knew he was there, and I would just watch him hit golf balls on the range. And Mo would hit golf balls for hours on the range. I just watched it, and I knew his swing was a different swing, and it's a swing that you can actually copy. There's people out there, the Gray's Golf Academy, that actually markets his swing and this, that, and the other. It's a one-plane swing. And I remember, he was the pioneer in using one-plane golf clubs and the one-plane swing. Boy, did he hit the ball so well. It was so natural to him. He was a genius when it came to ball striking. It was unbelievable. And literally, there were young golf pros all over would just go sit in lawn chairs and watch him hit golf balls, just because it was just awesome to watch that.
They didn't want to talk about their activities the night before. Their golf clubs would have been, their grips would have been sliced off.
Hey, but one for our listeners out there, in Mo's later years, he wasn't wealthy at all. And, he lived, day to day. And so Wally Uline from Titleist, even though that Mo was never a Titleist person, never endorsed their golf clubs, Wally, sent him $5,000 a month just till he died, just to take care of Mo, because he was such a treasure and such a part of golf history.
Well, Mo would pull his britches practically up to his underneath his nipples, so high. I thought, oh my!
I was gonna say probably better he had him up high, because otherwise he might have his hand down there. So. Apparently, up high is safe.
Yeah, well, yeah, not a visual that you want, Patty. I assure you.
I'm so glad I got to walk.
Well, Mark Egli, I typically expect wisdom and tips.
Wisdom.
And I'm loving this.
Don't shake hands on the golf course.
But you brought some wonderful stories and a heck of a lot of humor too on the T Florida, brother. I got to get more stories out of you in the future, because these guys probably all know them as well.
You know them all.
Oh, it was so much fun down there, and the characters that were down there. But one final Mo story: later in life, he ended up in the hospital, and he'd had a heart attack or something. And they asked him where he was. And he said, I don't know what the golf course is, but it's like, fifth hole Royal Ponciana golf course. And the nurse is thinking he's delirious and don't know what he's talking about. And they walked out of the room, and the doctor told the nurse that this hospital is built on top of the old Royal Ponciana golf course. And this is exactly where the fifth hole is at, where we're sitting at in this row.
Oh, wow. That's goosebumps. That's goosebumps. That's I just got goosebumps on that one.
Yeah, I did too.
And I like it.
Mark Egli, we got to get you on at least once a month, and we got to get these preparations to get you down here in January, brother, and have some fun with the fellas.
Speaking of goosebumps, this is a good goosebump too.
Patty,
you got to give me some good goosebumps here.
Ice pick,
need to come down for that reason alone.
Yeah, Ice Pick Vodka, of course, our title sponsor, and Patty Suzette, the cart girl, always kind enough to serve them up for us. Mark Egli, stay warm up there. What's the temperature? We've been complaining down here. It got into the 40s. What's the temperature up there in the great state of Iowa?
It's like 47 degrees today.
Holy hell, it's a heat wave.
Balmy.
It's a heat wave.
It'll be 55 next week.
And beautiful. Hey, did you have a birthday recently?
No, back in September I did.
I had one yesterday, but I thought for some reason your birthday and mine were close. But as the older we get, if it's in the same year, it's close enough, right?
That's really, really true. So next time we're on, we'll tell a few more stories and take a picture of your whole crew there today and send it my way. And good, it'd be nice to see what you all look like today from all the years I've been away from Florida.
Looking.
Beautiful.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we've got.
Hey, Mark. I got pictures on them all. I'll send it to you. Yes.
Send them. I'll get you Mark's phone number. Mark Egli, thank you very much. This was a lot of fun, my friend. I look forward to for future conversations, and I got to talk to you on your medical success or your journey. I'm probably going to call you this weekend, and we'll talk about that.
That's fantastic, because one of the hospitals now is doing feature stories with us, doing videos and the whole nine yards, and we're trying to do legislation to be able to get all the babies tested when they're first born in the newborn blood panel. So it's going really, really, really well. And I'll have great news to share with all of you here when we get on next month.
All right.
Way under par good stuff.
All right. So, God bless you. God bless you, my man.
Thanks a bunch. And I'll see you all soon.
All right.
Thanks, Mark.
Have a great day.
Take a break, and those more Norman stories are killing me. You're killing me, Smalls.
Oh.
We'll be back here on the T, Florida, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, brought to you by Ice Pick Vodka, Sea Dogs Brewery, Michelob Ultra, and, of course, Shipyard Brewing.
18 holes never felt so good. We're on the T from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
On the Tee, Florida, Florida's fastest growing premier golf and entertainment show has now moved to Thursday nights from 5 to 7, providing more golf entertainment and inside information from PGA to LPGA, LIV, NCAA, high school, and local events. A show for scratch golfers and fun-loving hacks. Two pros, John Rieger and Bill Butner, sharing PGA golf tour insights and tips, along with the hack Mike Rickard, head of the Hack Nation, inserting Caddyshack humor with our talented entertainment team of Carrie McNally, Tom Gibran, and Ice Pick Vodka Cocktail Queen and Cart Girl, the talented Patty Suzette. Tune in to On the Tee, Florida, Thursdays from 5 to 7 from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill 19th Hole Clubhouse and Ice Pick Vodka Studios for a chance to win golf passes, swag, Rays Bucks Rowdies tickets, and Ferg's Full Swing Simulator passes. That's On the Tee, Florida, on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, streaming on Florida Sports Stream and RadioSt.Pete.com. Tee it high and let it fly with On the Tee, Florida, and Ice Pick Vodka.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. Want a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season? The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront. Ice Pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club rewards program. Camp. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
We're on to the next hole. And on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back as we wind things down here on the tee, Florida, on the last day of November as we prepare for the holiday season. We've got three shows left in 2023, and we'll dedicate taking a look back each week. We've got plenty of media guys going to join us in the next few weeks. I've lined them all up and look forward to that. National media that will share their perspective on what's taking place in 2023 and some forecasts for 2024. Again, brought to you by Sea Dogs Brewery, and of course, you've had breakfast there, Bill Butner, yet?
I have not. I've had dinner there a couple times. Dinner has been fantastic.
Well, and we've got...
We definitely need to have a breakfast.
Well, yeah, we need to get Patty over there for breakfast.
I haven't had a breakfast there. I've eaten.
Well, John... Well, I go there quite often. John Rager, every time he comes down here, it costs me, you know, $100 just for his breakfast tab because he takes that ice pick vodka and throws down about five bloodies.
He deserves
it, though. He's up there in St. Augustine putting up with me and trying... You know, if he had a whip, he'd be cracking it down here.
Looking at you while drinking his drink, and there was definitely a pointed look there.
Yeah, well, you've got.
Well, Mike, you know what? Hey, everybody, it's time for Wild Bill's Golf Weather Report, brought to you by Yank and Crank. Extreme fishing fashion, what golfers wear when they're fishing. We're going to do this weather report from the weather station of the Backyard Golf Association. This is Wild Bill's private golf course in his backyard, 15 acres. The holes change quite a bit, and it's a wonderful place to play. And the weather right now feels like 59 degrees. The winds are east-northeast at 3 miles per hour, 83% humidity. Now, they've been coming out of a cold spell there. I'm sure they had some frost out there this morning. And but the Backyard Golf Association never closes. It's always open in case there's a big flood. Sometimes they'll have to wait a couple hours to go play. So there you have it. Wild Bill's Golf Weather Report brought to you by Yank and Crank. Now, I want to add something to the end of this weather report. You know, every day I try to watch the financial shows to figure out if I have to go back to work or not, if my stocks are going to do well or not. Sometimes it looks good, sometimes it doesn't. But if you go to my Shopify, and Shopify was on the Power Lunch the other day, they did $1 million a minute during the Black Friday sales. But you can go now to myshopify.com/yankandcrank and go buy a hat, everybody. But we appreciate Wild Bill's support of On the Tee Florida Golf, and hopefully he's listening tonight. And again, it's pretty chilly up here in the North Central Florida area.
Quit whining. But we've had wine and nine, but now we've got in the house, of course, the lovely and talented Patty Suzette, our cart girl, unofficial cart girl, the queen of cocktails. And you've got several cocktails tonight.
I actually have two because it was somebody's birthday. So.
Oh, and I really didn't imbibe because I was a little under the weather. So I'll be ready.
It's okay. He's all the way across the table. We can't catch anything.
No, I'm fine now. Okay. It turned out it wasn't anything that was contagious. Anyway, we'll talk about that at a later date.
Absolutely. So I actually did two shots this time. So instead of a traditional drink, we had to do some birthday shots. So in case you decide to imbibe a little bit later.
I will be this weekend.
So the first one, it's Mike's Hole in One.
Oh.
A dream come true.
This is how you finally get one. So.
Yes.
Exactly. Never even been close.
I'm not going to let save me one because it's the only way I'm getting a hole in one.
I could have it. I might have five hole in ones in one day. Let's see what you got in it.
Okay, so you're going to start with 1.5 ounces, and this is per shot. This is actually a blended cocktail, or a blended shot. So it's 1.5 ounces of grapefruit peach ice pick vodka, 1/2 ounce of peach puree, and I'll tell you how to do that, and a splash of Prosecco or Sprite if you're not a big champagne person. But So basically, as many shots as you want, you'll take a blender. You'll put in the vodka, the ice pick vodka. Then for each shot, you put in a single peach wedge, a frozen peach wedge, and you blend
those peaches
together.
That's the healthy aspect of it.
Yeah, that is. That's,
you're being healthy here. So
exactly. Distilled vodka, with some potatoes, and peaches.
And you want to keep the vodka cold. So you want to keep the vodka in the freezer so it's cold, so it's not going to
melt. Oh, I love that, too.
So it's going to be nice. It's going to be really, really a little bit bubbly, so you're going to just top those. So once you blend them, you pour them in a shot glass, and then just top it with
I've got the ice pick vodka in the freezer as we speak.
So then you're halfway there. All you need is frozen peaches, and you're good to go. I did make another option, though, if you wanted something that didn't involve a blender. So this is a traditional birthday cake shot, and we can call this one the birthday boy in your honor.
Thank you.
Wow.
This is the best present I've gotten on my birthday. It's been kind of a down birthday, actually. With the exception of my grandchildren FaceTiming me. That was superb.
That's nice. But getting sick on your birthday is never fun.
No.
So this one is 1 ounce of ice pick vodka, just the regular, 1 ounce of white chocolate liqueur, and I highly recommend Godiva. It's the best for it. And then
Lady Godiva?
And Lady Godiva, naked on a horse, the whole thing.
Now we're talking.
Served by a woman with long hair who's naked on a horse. That's
now we're talking.
That is a perfect birthday.
Could you line that up for me?
Face Coast Tour. Here we go.
I do know people, and I think I have a few with horses. I might make that happen. They're not
reasonable. it may cost you a few Benny Franklins.
Oh, no, it's just the people you probably wouldn't want to see naked on a horse. But
okay.
Still make it
oh, all right. There you go.
Okay.
My age, I can't be picky.
So basically, you shake that up in a tin with ice.
That's going to shake me up, that's for sure. Naked woman on a horse that I don't want to see, and then I'm getting drunk on Mike's.
You top these things with whipped cream and sprinkles. So you.
Oh, beautiful.
This is kind of an erotic combination we got going here.
Lady Godiva. I'm just making the.
Whipped cream, Lady Godiva.
And sprinkles. Don't forget the sprinkles.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely sprinkles. Maybe a cherry on top. Happy birthday, Mike.
This show went from PG to. Potentially offensive.
I was going
to
say.
Hey, everybody. I just want to make mention here that the show from 5 to 6 is the broadcast version. After 6, it's the cable version on the T-Florida.
It's our streaming.
I show up and I start feeding Bill drinks.
Hey,
there you go. I like this
part. I need you to take screenshots of those.
Yes. Actually, I was going to ask, and I'll get the information from you, but I'm going to have all of these together for you with images so you can start putting them up on the website.
Well, and then we're next week, we're going to have to, I think next week or the week after, we're going to have our Christmas show.
I'm going to be at Art Basel next week. It's the biggest
show. How about the week after?
I can definitely do the week.
We will make that our Christmas show.
I'm there.
You're going to have to come up with some Christmas cocktails.
I have an elf costume.
I got all kinds of stuff.
No,
I was going to announce
it. I'm just saying that so you don't wear the same elf costume.
I will not wear.
Be embarrassed. Like,
but we are having a Christmas show, and we're going to have cocktails, and we'll start to promote it on social media and get people down here. Don't worry, you're going to get your cocktails. You think you can leave wine and nine early enough for our Christmas party?
I don't know. I'm going under the knife next Monday, so I got a little recovery.
I'll come pick you up.
There you go.
Perfect. I'll pick your old. Oh, what did Mark Egli say? You were just a kind,
sweet, tall, intimidating looking stud.
Intimidating. Called him intimidating.
The Intimidator.
Andy Griffith is not intimidating. North Carolina hick from the sticks.
Hey. Says the man from Iowa.
Hey,
shots are fired, but
Tom Gribben came up with some factoids on my home state. Okay. I did not know this, that sliced bread was discovered or created in the great state of Iowa.
Congratulations.
Yeah, so
you're better than everything else because everyone compares everything to sliced
bread. And they get very good. That's why we have her. She's the witty one.
I do what I can.
I love those cocktails, though. I like.
So do I.
I like the peach. Oh my God! His attention span. He starts acting like a kid when you show
Honestly,
up.
Honestly, we both start giggling. I don't know why you haven't kicked us out yet.
That's true.
We do have a good time.
Well, because I do need him. He is a plethora of golf stories and information.
Yeah.
And we got to stick with the theme: two pros and a hack. And
that's true.
I got two of the best pros in the area by far for
I'm
this.
Solid hack.
You're the hackette.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
You're the hackette. Hack and hackette. Actually, you're not a hackette. I was looking at some old pictures and how he worked on your swing that first time.
You're so good.
You have a great swing.
I posted a lot of those just so I could prove that I did it one time.
Did you see those, John Rager? I sent those to you. Yeah.
I absolutely saw those. And for our listeners out there, go to onthetfloridagolf.com because Patty is now promising to put these pictures of these wonderful beverages and the recipes. We will get that up on our website if you go there. Just want to mention to all of our listeners out there, we got two golf simulators down there at Berg Sports Bar, and you can come down there and you can play in a golf league. You can do a daily long drive contest. You can have a party, or you can just go out there and have a good time and reserve a spot on the golf simulator. So I want to remind everybody to go to onthetfloridagolf.com. You will see it all, and you will have a good time. And come on down to Berg's and tee it high and let it fly in our golf simulators.
Well, and continuing throughout the month of December for holidays, it is BOGO. If you come down and rent an hour, we'll give you 2 hours. And as soon as football winds down, which will be this Saturday, the Michigan Watch Parties, we'll have play available on Saturdays here and have a lot of interactive fun. So you will be at a art festival.
Yep.
Is that what it's called?
It's Art Basel. It's a
I knew all about that.
It's a massive show in Miami. So I'm actually coordinating with the Jason Prez Art Collective, and I'm currently coordinating for 44 different artists for Red Dot Spectrum, a show at the National and Russell.
How are we blessed with her in our presence?
I don't sleep much.
We've got these artists. We got Tom Gribbin, creative.
And I'm showing. So I just finished a piece. Like, I finished two pieces.
Well, bravo, young lady.
A whole wall there.
We're proud of you. Kick some ass, will you?
Thank you. And I'll take some money. That's the goal. I'm going to take money.
Cash is king for the queen. Beautiful. What do you got going on?
My surgery coming up Monday, so I'm going to get I'll be a new person on Tuesday.
Getting the new hip?
New hip.
Thoughts and prayers with your brother. If you do need me, seriously, I got a big van. I can.
Okay. I
can lay in the back and drive you around.
There you go.
John Rager, what do you got going on the rest of the week?
Well, I'll tell you, the rest of the week, we're going to watch that hero. Weekend. Hey, we're going to watch that hero challenge out there. I encourage everybody to go to the Golf Channel, watch it, follow it online. And I can
Hold on, John. Did you hear that sound? He's got the mic on. This is what a kid he turns into, and he's just sucking the last drink, the last portion. Oh yeah, and there's Patty, Suzette, as they suck their last few ounces of ice pick vodka out of their glasses. This is radio.
It's a radio.
Anybody can hear that.
Nobody can see it.
Hey, it could be water. Wink, wink, nudge.
No, we know it's not. Anyway, I'm sorry, John. Anyway, you're gonna be watching.
You know, great golf. Hey, great golf shows have great sound effects. So, hey, thank you, Patty, for being here tonight. Hey, thank you, Bill Butner. You are the man. You are man's threat and lady's pet out there, I can tell you. I'm looking forward to our Christmas party broadcast. Can't wait to get down there and join in on all the fun.
Man's threat and lady's pet. That would be Andy Griffith sitting across from me. All right.
I don't think anybody's ever said that about Andy Griffith, but I might be wrong.
No, but you haven't ever seen him on the Eckerd campus.
Oh, everybody, that's a whole show. That's a show.
That's a different man.
He's the bad man on campus.
You know, they love him on that campus. But
I have no doubt.
He's walking up and down Media Row, shaking hands with all the big benefactors.
Hello, yes. I mean, absolutely everybody.
Tommy Ryan's job should be in jeopardy right now that you're retired.
No.
You should be the assistant AD.
I should be.
I'm having him on Saturday. I'm going to ask him if he's been buying for his job.
Yeah,
all right. From the Ferg's 19th Hole Clubhouse Studio, I'm Mike Rickard for Bill Butner, John Rager, Jeremy Friedman, Mark Yeagley, Tom Gribbin, Patty Suzette, of course, Joe Boudreaux, Matt on the controls, as always, up there, 106.1 FM. Thanks for listening to On the Tee Florida. And as always, God bless you. God bless America. Remember to keep it in the short grass and hit them straight.